Now, absolute pleasure to welcome back after several years, the Visa Geezer. His name is Steve Barnes. Good to see you.
Hi, Phil. Several years. Yeah, might be 2 years, I think.
Yeah, really, being on this one. Now, Steve, several years ago, really, started doing the lunchtime spot with Andy Curtis when he was doing the lunchtime show. And, goodness me, 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, nigh on that. And then Melanie was filling in for Andy.
Well, good to see you back. I mean, this is a real sort of a niche thing. It's an amazing area where people are a bit scared to ask advice because they sound daft, but then they don't get their visa.
Yeah.
You talked about various categories when you were here all those times before. And the big issue was when people come to Hong Kong to work for a company, can or cannot their wife, partner, whatever, freely work here?
Okay.
And that changes and chops, doesn't it?
Well, it has done historically, you're right. The good news is today, and this has been the case since 2006, that any lawful spouse of an employment visa holder in Hong Kong secures a dependent visa. And the privilege that automatically follows the grant of the dependent visa is the privilege to work without any further reference to the Immigration Department. And that's been the case since 2006. There was some flip-flopping in 2004.
Yeah, they stopped it, didn't they?
They did stop it, and it really put a stirred up a hornet's nest at that point in time. But in fairness to the department, they did some analysis when they were introducing the Capital Investment Entrance Scheme program around about that time, and they looked at the number of wives or husbands, dependent visa holders, that is, of employment visa holders who had to apply separately between 2004 and 2006 for permissions to work whilst they were in possession of a dependent visa.
Yeah.
And something like 98% of all of the applications that the Immigration Department received in that two-year window were approved.
They did, yeah.
So they concluded, you know, if someone's being granted an employment visa, the likelihood is that their spouse is sort of a sort of educational and social standing equivalent to the employment visa holder, so why stop them from working as of right, in a
sense? Was there an assumption that they wouldn't want to work the old-fashioned way, you know, just the wife or the husband at home?
No, it was all driven by sort of political considerations, actually, initially. There'd been some pressure for several years about the automatic privilege to work for dependent visa holders and what it might be doing to the local job opportunities, if you will.
Yeah. Very different, though.
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, the numbers are minuscule, and if you think about the types of work that foreign national spouses typically undertake whilst their partner's working in Hong Kong, they're not the type of jobs that would be taken up by local permanent residents as of right. So
the world over, that sort of thing happens, doesn't it? You know, what makes you think you can do this job better? Da, da, da. And I'm pretty sure that as the years have gone on, they said, well, that's not really the criteria, because supposing one of us gets offered a job in another country like Australia, it's not like we're there because we're better than the people who are in Australia. It's because for whatever reason, the employer wants us to do it.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And in some countries, the spouse will automatically get the privilege to work. In other countries, they don't have to make a separate application for those consents.
Yeah.
In Hong Kong, historically, it's really been an automatic privilege, except for that time frame between 2004 and 2006, where they pulled the rug and, as I say, it set a bit of a hornet's nest.
Very generally speaking, what were the kinds of jobs that spouses were doing here?
Oh, well, I mean, Your guess is pretty much as good as mine in that regard. But, you know, if they're trailing spouses, they're women that have been sort of in administration, for example.
Part-time teaching, for instance, maybe.
Oh, yes, a lot of that. And there was also the kind of a very strange situation where, you know, some spouses come and they just want to engage in charity work. But the law says you're not allowed to join in employment, whether paid or unpaid, without the consent of the Director of Immigration.
Right.
So for those 2 years, 2004, 2006, we were getting calls from clients saying, you know, I want to go off and do charitable work, but my visa, my dependent visa says I can't work, so what am I supposed to do?
Where's the definition of work, though? So supposing you've got a musician friend who wants to come here and just play for fun, or somebody says, come and join my group for a gig for fun.
Yeah.
Is that work?
Well, okay, in the final analysis, it depends on what the Immigration Department make of a given set of circumstances, whether or not that is deemed working, and whether they've got the attitude to prosecute for breach of conditions of stay in those circumstances. And in the main, they take a very common sense approach, and they wouldn't prosecute where there's you know, obviously good stuff going on, such as charitable work. But ultimately, what is deemed work for the purposes of immigration in jurisdictions generally is whether or not that type would command payment for somebody else if that other party was doing it.
Got it. All right, any questions for Steve Barnes, the Visa Geezer? It's official now, isn't it?
There's a blog that I named after you, Phil, the Hong Kong Visa Geezer.
What, the complete... never mind. Now, another, do check him out online if you want. And any questions, morningbrew@rthk.hk. Anything you like. Steve's knowledge on this is pretty extensive. Another thing that comes back and back is people who marry Hong Kong nationals.
Yeah.
People who may be Americans, Aussies, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that an automatic right to work?
Yeah, they get dependent visas, just like if you're married to an employment visa or an investment principal, other principal visa.
But they still have to apply, or it's given?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. The Hong Kong Immigration Department don't give anything away when you just arrive. You've got to go through the process of making an application.
No, suppose somebody lives here already and they, for whatever reason, don't have a work visa, and they marry, a local girl.
Right.
What's the deal then?
Well, in that case, we have to define what living here means for the purposes of this question. If they've come as a visitor,
let's say that.
Yeah, so they come as a visitor, they fall in love, they get married with a local girl, so to speak. Then they can apply for a dependent visa to adjust their status from visitor to dependent on the strength of their lawful marriage.
So that shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, no, of course not. You just have to show that it's a genuine marriage. You have to show that the sponsoring spouse, the Hong Kong resident spouse, can put a roof over the head of the applicant and can put food on the table in a conceptual sense.
All the normal stuff. Also, at the time in 2004, when they were playing around with the dependent visa thing, they were really bigging up this mainland talent scheme. Now, was that just Hong Kong toadying, or was that an effective thing?
No, this was part and parcel of the general trend of the dynamic in Hong Kong to accommodate the realities of being part of China.
Right.
And, prior to the handback, it was almost impossible for mainland nationals to secure immigration status in Hong Kong, any kind of resident status, unless they'd been living outside of China for a minimum of 2 years before they made their application to the Hong Kong Immigration Department. And then, in the wake of the handover, they started to liberalize the arrangements, and it changed from 2 years down to 1 year. And then the department recognized an opportunity to introduce a whole new program that was geared specifically at mainland residents who possess extremely good skills, knowledge and experience of value to not readily available in Hong Kong. And were able to show that their proposed employer or their proposed business activities in Hong Kong were going to benefit Hong Kong. And through a special procedure that they enacted, it became possible for mainland residents to actually apply for residence visas under this program called the Admission of Mainland Talents Scheme. It was originally two programs, and after several years they merged it into one and they rationalized it into the program that exists today.
Is that because the talent thing didn't have too many takers? Because, you remember at the time, I think Lang Lang got one, didn't he? I mean, that's the level we were talking.
Lang Lang is the...
piano player,
Oh, no, that's a different program. That was a Quality Migrant Admission Scheme program. No, there was two programs originally for mainland talents and mainland professionals that had different consideration criteria.
Right.
They were merged into one program several years later just to rationalize it in mainland talents generally stated. And that program now probably represents something like 23,000-24,000 approvals a year.
Yeah.
And the regular, under the general employment policy for non-Chinese foreign nationals that come to Hong Kong and get immigration status is about 17,000 or 18,000. So it's actually more Chinese than there are of any other nationalities right now.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. Steve has written and published the Hong Kong Visa Handbook. So obviously there are a lot of issues here. Now, day to day, what are the most commonly asked questions right now for you?
It's the same old theme, really, such as, what are the minimum salary entitlements. What's the minimum salary that really needs to be paid for the immigration department to buy into the idea that this is an employment visa that should be approved rather than refused? There's constant questions about same-sex partners, which
tell me about that.
We've been getting visa immigration status for same-sex partners for many, many years. And the Immigration Department don't have a specific program for same-sex partners, but what they do is they recognize that if there's a loving, committed life partner relationship between two individuals of the same sex, and they can show that prior to coming to Hong Kong, they have been in a, they've lived together, they've cohabited, and you can show that they've got vestiges of, as I say, that committed life relationship together, then the Immigration Department can't grant a dependent visa. Because the dependent visa program calls for a legal marriage between heterosexual partners. No, they don't recognize it.
So that whole issue of gay marriage is something that just doesn't come onto their radar.
As I say, in fairness to the department, you know, it does come onto their radar screen in as much as if it's the Immigration Department's job not to separate loving couples, irrespective of whatever their sexual orientation is,
right. The
Immigration Department will work the existing immigration schemes to allow the same-sex couple to continue their lives together in Hong Kong. That is, they won't allow immigration policy to interfere and stop them from carrying on living their lives together as a result of the, you know, sexual orientation.
So basically, they're not going to be prissy and morally judge the situation.
Well, no, I mean, they're not. They don't
mind. It wouldn't be the first time.
No, not at all. What they do is they grant an extended visitor visa for in 6 months increments that allows the trailing partner, if you will, to be with their sponsor.
So it's not actually that much of a problem.
It's not a problem at all. If it's like anything, you know, if you've got a set of circumstances that suggest it would be natural justice for these people to live together, the Immigration Department will allow that to happen.
That's
the same, even if you're heterosexual couples that aren't married. If you can show that you're effectively de facto spouses, and you've had a prior cohabitation, and you're in a loving, long-term, committed relationship together before you come to Hong Kong, the Immigration Department will you know, put you through an application process, just like everybody has to go through. But they will grant you immigration status that will allow you to remain in Hong Kong to do the things that you want to do.
A common law thing here.
Well, that's the de facto spouse.
How long is that?
It's the same as the same-sex partners. You get 6 months extended visitor visa.
Yeah.
In 6 months periods of stay, basically indefinitely, as long as the qualifying partner is able to continue sponsoring that status.
I don't know. How long is it before you're considered common law legally?
That's a great question. It depends on the jurisdiction. I'm not sure what it is in relation to Hong Kong. I'm not even sure that there is recognition of common law for the purposes of certainly not in immigration. They don't recognize common law as such. I'm not sure that it exists in other legal areas.
All right, I've got one more real easy question for you, but it's something that people come across all the time. If somebody has a work visa, is it specific to that job still?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, when you secure an employment visa sponsored by a third-party employer, you have to show that you possess special skills, knowledge and experience of value to and not readily available in Hong Kong in the context of that particular job.
Gotcha.
And that employer has to show that they are justified in engaging that employee's the particular skills. And the Immigration Department anchor the approval to that particular job and that particular employer.
Yep.
And if that employment terminates for any reason, then all bets are off. You can't just hop into another job and not go through the process of getting the Immigration Department's permission to do that.
I've got an email here for you from Tony. He says, great to have you back on air.
Hi, Tony.
Not me. He says, Phil can get lost. Always enjoyed your time when you were last on air. A friend whose wife is a mainlander, she was working here on a work visa prior to marrying, but after marriage, her work visa lapsed and she continued to work. She went to change her job and found she was illegal. Can you explain how this can be?
Well, that is exactly the situation that I've just described.
Yeah.
And how this works in reality is that when you get an employment visa that is sponsored by one particular employer, the permissions are locked to that employer. If you stop working for that employer, then all bets are off.
Right.
And what you have is two privileges with an employment visa. You get the privilege to work for that employer, and you get the privilege to reside. So when you stopped working, the privilege to work ceases.
Yeah.
But the privilege to reside continues until the expiry of your existing period of stay.
Right.
Which is natural if you think about it. You don't get kicked out just because you know you're no longer working for that particular employer.
Right.
But if you want to start working for another employer to reinvoke your privilege to work, you have to go to the immigration department, make another application, pass the approvability test, get the sponsorship of the new employer in place, and then your privilege to work will be reinstated.
All right, then. Well, Tony just carries on. He said, explain, as you have done. He said, after all, she was married to a Westerner who has a permanent residency, so why is she treated differently than, for example, my wife, who is a Filipina and now works as a teacher, which was possible because she married me, a PR?
It very much depends on what the situation was at the time of the marriage,
right.
And whether the husband in this situation was married to this lady before he became a permanent resident, and whether or not he'd applied for a dependent visa for her before he became a permanent resident.
Right.
Because you can't get dependent visas for mainland national spouses if you are a permanent resident, but you can get dependent visas for mainland resident spouses if you're not a permanent resident. It's
see me glazing over here.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Lovely to see you back. Steve Barnes is now, we're reinstating you as the official Morning Brew Visa Geezer.
Great
Lovely stuff. To talk to you, Steve. We'll do it in a month or so.